Chris Baker. This week alongside me is Kelvin, my buddy. Met him here at UCO. But before we get into it, be sure to check out last episode. It was with Luke Booker. We talked about the film we actually made called Perspective. It was a short film for a class we had to do. Turned out pretty cool. We've reflected on just filmmaking in general. So we talked a little bit of sports, which, by the way, go Ohio State. We got them coming up. We got Bama coming up on Monday for the Natty. So that'll be fun. And right before we get into it, be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Bake Is Here. Follow me on Twitter for all the bullshit that goes on Twitter, and follow me on Instagram for photography content purposes. I do a lot of photography. I post landscapes, portraits, a whole bunch of stuff. So just go follow me there. I would really appreciate it. And Kelvin, real quick, before we get into the actual episode and the thick of things, let people know where they can find you on social media, website, whatever it might be.
Yeah, like I said earlier, on any social media platform, if you just look up my name, Calvin Gritsmaker, it's pretty easy to find. There's not too many Calvin Gritsmakers out there. And what he was saying about his portraits and stuff, he's right. If you're viewing for me, go take a look at him. He's dope. The podcast shit's really going off, taking off. It's cool. So
thank you.
Tap in, take a look.
All right, cool. Yeah, Calvin, let's get right into it. So you reached out to me. You had actually saw my post about the episode with Luke, and you had mentioned a few things, and then we just got talking, and I invited you on the podcast, and here we are. You got a lot of things going on that you're doing business wise, but before we kind of get into that, I just kind of want people to get a little background on you. I know you went to Kansas University for a little bit, so you can tell people about that, and then how you ended up here at UCO. Are you actually from here, by the way, Edmund?
I'm originally from Bartlesville, Oklahoma, which is like 40 minutes north of Tulsa.
Oh, okay, cool. So you are from like Oklahoma, at least. So just give people a little bit of background on you and how you got to where you are today.
My name's Calvin. I went to high school in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, like I just said not too long ago. Played football, was a pretty typical kid there. Then I went and tried to walk on at KU. I stayed for a season. Didn't do too well. We ended up parting ways. I fell sick my sophomore year after transferring to UCO, and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And then I figured out how to manage that and how to come back from losing all the weight and just kind of feeling weak. And after I got on my own 2 feet again, started reaching out to organizations around here, maybe find something fun to do. And I came across Pike, had a great time there, made a lot of good connections. It's actually where I met you. And then I parted ways with Pike about 6 months ago and been doing my own thing ever since. Just working on my own companies and my own, I'm working on my own way pretty much.
So you said you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and you felt ill to that. You lost a lot of weight. You do fitness now. I follow you on Instagram. You do fitness. Are you a reactive, a proactive, diabetic? How has that like affected your daily life? Obviously, like I said, you do fitness, so you're kind of active in that sense, but in other ways, how has it really affected your daily life?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, honestly, the number one factor that comes out of this is discipline. It really taught me discipline, because it's either be disciplined or lose limbs, be disciplined or die in your sleep. Like, you have to pay attention to numbers and what you eat and what you intake and how much you work out. Like I said, you know kind of how it works. You can go too high.
Yeah, my girlfriend's type 1 diabetic. She kind of, you know, she just recently got the pump. I don't know. Do you use the pump or are you multiple daily injections?
Multiple daily injections for me right now, but that's just because I kind of don't like it on my body. But I recently met a guy at the gym who's about the same caliber of fitness.
Okay. Camera for you. I can still hear you, but it's all right.
Sorry, I'm back. I got a random phone call, but anyway.
Oh, no worries.
I met this dude. I'm sure he won't care if I name drop him. His name's Zach Nelson. Super fit guy. Really cool. Working on going into highway patrol. And so it's kind of alleviating to meet somebody else who's about the same athletic ability and going through the same stuff. He's been diagnosed for about a year. And so it's been really cool going with him. But like I said, you can go too high and too low. It's kind of like Flappy Bird with your sugars. You got to keep it in the middle, a little happy medium. And so that can be difficult. And a lot of that takes discipline, because it's constant work. And so if you always, like, if you get tired of checking your numbers and quit, there's a downfall there, and vice versa if it goes up.
Do you use, she has this thing, it's a Dexcom. Do you something like that?
Yeah, I got one on right now.
Okay, yeah, just like that. She has one. She keeps it on her arm. But like I said, she actually just got the pump. She has a blog page about it. She's an opera singer. But she just recently got the pump, and that's kind of like been pretty interesting to view as like someone that doesn't have diabetes, and it's like it's like a external pancreas almost.
Exactly what it is.
It just kind of does it for her. She's still very conscious about everything. She is pretty proactive diabetic in that sense. Mm-hmm. She also maintains fitness, and she says yoga helps a lot with diabetes for her. She said it just kind of like mellows things out. But yeah, like folk watching what you eat and, you know, turning down foods that you can't eat. Absolutely. And knowing how your body will react. It's a crazy thing. So you've had diabetes for, I'm guessing, about 2 years, 2.5 years now. Roughly?
Yeah, a little over two.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, so the reward of being disciplined and taking care of yourself and being healthy is the upside. So basically, someone who wouldn't have diabetes, if they wanted to go and get jacked and shredded, now a diabetic has to basically do that. And so it makes it, easier to enter the fitness world. And so.
Yeah, because you kind of like, I mean, obviously you could just be not caring and just deal with the negative sides of diabetes. But if you want to like really focus on that and keep yourself healthy in that way, like you almost have to be in a fitness, you know, into fitness. But so, you know, I was talking with her about doing this and, you know, questions I should ask you that would be pretty funny. And she had mentioned, you know, when she gets numb in the tongue and it will inhibit her to speak. Have you ever had that happen to you?
You know, when she's too high or too low or what?
I think she said when she was too low. Yeah. When she's too low, she's getting numbs in the tongue and she can't speak. Has something like that ever happened to you?
Well, there's indicators on both ends of the scale. If I go too low, what will happen is I'll start getting confused. And that's when I know I'm having a low. Like, so for instance, if I'm having a sugar low, I'll go into the gas station to get like an orange juice or something to bring my sugars back up.
Yeah, she always has juice on standby.
Exactly. But what'll happen is I'll get there and I'll just stare at all the colors of the pops in the case and forget while I'm there. Like, you start going into like confusion.
Shock mode or something?
Yeah.
It's like nervous break, not a nervous breakdown, but like just like you can't think because your body's probably focusing on whatever else.
And your body kind of gets like a real anxious, kind of like twitchy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I've noticed from it.
What's your most embarrassing or like funny story that you've dealt with diabetes now that you've had it for a little bit? I'm sure you've encountered just something where it's like when you look back, you kind of laugh at it, or you're like, oh damn, that was embarrassing or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gets it's not so funny as a situation that happens.
No,
but now
no, exactly.
Back, this one time I was standing in the shower. And I was having a hot shower, and when you get a sugar low out of nowhere, once you've had it for a while, your body gets hot and you can recognize it. But I was in the shower when I had a sugar low, and I was jamming to music, so I couldn't hear my monitor. And then out of nowhere, my legs just gave out, and I fell through the shower screen with the shower running.
Oh, no.
And well, by that time, it was too late. I couldn't stand. And I live alone. I mean, this is like probably my first within the first eight months of having.
Oh my God. This isn't funny at all.
Yeah. Well, at first it's not. Anyway, and I can't get up. And so I'm like, okay, I gotta get some sugar. I gotta get there. And so I start army crawling, like kind of like Bambi walking, trying to get to the kitchen and taking everything I can because I'm super low. And then all I find is like one of these like old style like bakery can icings that my mom had randomly given me for whatever reason, some no name brand. And
it was for that reason.
Yeah. Anyway, I was so weak I could barely crack open the can. When I cracked the can open, it was like one of those old school cans that like the metal pops off. Well, it popped off and came back and it cut the tip of my finger off.
No way.
And so here I am just in a gory blood scene trying to stuff my hand like with icing. Anyway, it's been about like 10 minutes. I finally get a paper towel, start slowing down bleeding. I'm waiting on the sugar to take action. And then I finally, this is like 11:30, 12 at night. And then fortunately, I only live like a block from OU Med Center. And I went there and I had to get like 7 stitches in my hand. And yeah, I was all drugged up and everything. It was all crazy. But that would probably be the most hectic one. And the one that I look back and laugh at because it was such like, it was so unnecessary and it was so like profound.
That sounds like something out of a movie scene. Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a because I've had my own personal health issues where, you know, I've dealt with some unique things where I'm like, I never thought I would. You know, I had heart procedures at 19 where I was like, damn, like shit, whoever would have thought. But that's not like, it's not something, that's a crazy thing to think that you could just collapse and like have to be on your, you know, knocking on the door, crawling for sugar. That's like it's a crazy thought. Like, you know, when you tell people about these things or talk to you about diabetes, or they ask you, do you ever get anxious or upset when they don't understand it, or do you just try to explain it in a way that they do, and if they don't, whatever, do you kind of not care about how other people see it, or like what's your outlook on that part?
Not necessarily, because I mean the only people are going to understand are the people who want to understand. It's kind of one of those deals. I would say I take a more mature approach on it every day, because I, like I said, it's my own little snow globe of a world that I have to live in with all these rules. And I can also remove myself outside and understand that not everybody has to have these rules.
Yeah.
What I have to recognize is sometimes if I have a sugar low or a sugar high, I'll get real agitated real quick. And it's because my body is seeking something, like I'm seeking sugar to fix this, and I haven't registered that consciously yet. And so I'll get snippy with people. So I really have to hold back and understand, even under these circumstances and all that stuff, even under all this pressure, I still have to act normal and be respectful, and I have to like take care of myself, because a lot of people don't know how to take care of me either. So,
yeah,
and it's not their responsibility either. So
how has that affected, like, you know, friendships, relationships, whether it be with your parents, friends, significant others, things like that? How has that affected relationships?
You know, honestly, it hasn't affected them a whole lot. I would say there's a disconnect where, like, I'll tell a friend, hey, I cannot drink alcohol. And then, like, say my birthday comes around and they buy me a bottle of alcohol. Like, they have no concept that I cannot consume.
And then they're like, my bad, dude, my bad. Yeah.
And that's probably get awkward,
irritating, but, yeah. I could imagine.
Yeah, but other than that, it hasn't been too bad. Like I said, everybody's got their own issue. Mine just happens to be type 1. So,
you know, what are your plans with, you know, with it going forward? Do you have plans, like, do you want to have do you speak about it on your page? Do you bring awareness to it? Or is it just something you deal with in your life and you it's kind of like it's just your thing?
Yeah, not at all. I'm fortunate enough to have a degree that can do many things. I'm also CEP certified, which is clinical exercise physiologist. And that means I can work with special pops, people like cancer patients, thyroid issues, type 1, type 2. I can deal with all of that because I know the limiter and the limiting factors whenever they're in the gym prescription and stuff. And so it wouldn't be too far-fetched for me in a few years to have like a specific program for type ones, because like I said, it's difficult. And when you want to get into bodybuilding, or if you want to get into fitness, there's a lot of like your diet is extremely different from a regular bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And so I would think about implementing something like that, and maybe changing future type 1 diabetics, like younger kids, if they need like a mentor or anything like that, I'll set up a program for them so we can set them in the right direction.
A great plan. Honestly, that's like it's super useful. There's always things that are like, you know, for specific groups, and it's always nice to see like new things that are coming up or something people haven't planned. And obviously you are affected by it, so it kind of hits differently, where you have a very unique passion, like a very personable sense of passion towards it, because you deal with it yourself. So it's something you can relate to easily with the person, and it might honestly help people. Like that's a great thing, whether it's being done elsewhere or not, I don't know, but like nonetheless, it's a great thing, because people might feel like they can't get into it because they don't understand too much, but also are scared to get a trainer or a nutritionist or something, because they might not have a diabetic patient or not patient, but like client, where they might not understand it that much. And they might be a person with diabetes trying to get into that might be hesitant or worried or scared to do that just because of the disconnect, like you said. And so for knowing that you are also going through it and you deal with it and you have your own experiences, people might be more apt to, do things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, let me get rid of those there. I don't want to take down a screen again. You mentioned earlier that you had heart procedures. You never told me about that. What is that? What happened?
Yeah, so when I was in the Navy, I got to Italy for the first, I was That was my first duty station ever. And they did some screenings just because of my job. You know, they had to do some screenings for me to arm up with weapons. And doing those screenings, they saw things they didn't like in my heartbeat, in my EKG. And then after a few months of sending me around to different doctors in Italy, Germany, Bethesda, Maryland, back to Italy, and then finally to Virginia, they ended up doing a, it's called a premature, it's called premature ventricular contractions. And what they did was ablate electrical nodes on my heart. And they did that two different times. And since then, it's been pretty damn good. I haven't had too many issues. Here and there, I'll have days where it's just like not great. What I deal with it, where it's like my heart will just flutter, or I'll have shortness of breath, or like can't catch my breath quite nicely, and I have to like force yawns. But it's not anywhere as like it was right before I had it quote unquote fixed. So yeah, I've dealt with that. And but the thing is it's never really, not that it hasn't limited me to do anything, it hasn't played a huge role. It's just, to me, it's just something that happened. I dealt with it, you know, during that time and whatnot. And now it's just something I look back on as an experience. And I was actually going to ask you, I forgot what the damn question was. I had it written down here.
Excuse me.
Let's see. Oh, I was going to ask you. Whatever. I can't remember. It'll come to me later. But I mean, it's not something I felt like affected my daily, or not my daily life, but like affects me now. It's just something I experienced. But like for you, I might be mistaken, but I don't think type 1 diabetes is a curable illness, right? It's not.
Not currently, but it's honestly one of those things where like, there's a lot of money getting poured into science and stuff for it right now. Like they're doing pancreas transplants, and I think there's been a few successful ones, but it's super expensive and it's super unreliable. Like it really depends on who and
but who knows, in 20 years they could, or in 10 years, or however long it takes, they could. I mean, technology is moving at such a fast and rapid rate that who knows what they'll be able to do in 2 years, let alone 5, 10, 15, or 20. But When you are, like you said, when you're going out to parties or whatever it might be, bars, like, do you drink with how you know you can drink, or do you just not drink at all? Like, do you ever feel like you, not that you would be embarrassed by it, because I'm sure like many things that a lot of people deal with, they just feel it's just something you deal with. How do you handle that when you're out and about?
It's kind of a long story, but when I originally became diabetic, I was convinced that you couldn't drink at all, and I was real scared, and I didn't know how to go about it. Like I said, I'm still coming out losing weight.
You probably never looked into it before you were diagnosed with it.
But the more confident I become in like keeping my numbers the right level and stuff, I'll drink here and there, but it's always in moderation. Like I'll never go just crazy. I'm never just doing shot for shot, but I might drink two or three if I'm out with some friends and stuff like that, but it's never past the extent of like that. I'm never going ham with a fist like full of whiskey or anything anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Those days are behind me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess you up until you know that the diabetes like came on, like you probably were able to like do you look as life with diabetes now as just normal to you, in the same way life was normal before you were diagnosed with diabetes? Like I say that obviously it's not normal because you got to do things that most people don't have to do, but in your eyes, is it just part of your normal daily life, or do you ever like get this feeling like this sucks that I even have to do this? Like no, like other people don't have to deal with it. Like how?
I'm
just curious. Honestly, it's interesting to me because like, I don't have to deal with anything like that. My mom's deaf. So like, I kind of grew up seeing like that side of like, I don't know truly what it feels like to not be able to hear anything. I don't know what that's like. And I hopefully never will. I hopefully never have to experience that. And you probably felt the same way before you got diabetes, that you wouldn't have to experience something, different like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say now it's just part of the course of my day. Like, it doesn't really interrupt anything, but that's because I've learned how to manage it and stick with it and what's required. So for instance, I can put this into frame for you. The first time I ever got a shipment of diabetes, needles and kits and my insulin and all that I've never had before. I remember pulling it out, looking at that needle, and my face got hot. I about passed out because I was like, I'm about to have to stick myself with that.
Forever.
And it's like, it was like fighting to get a cat into the bath, man. Like, whenever the needles came out, I was like, for a long time, I'd say like 2 weeks, I was like two, three weeks, I did not want anything to do with the needles. But after we got around that and you get around like calibrating your monitor and making sure that your numbers are straight, I would say the number game is really hard. Because carbs and sugars and fats all have different indexes, and you trying to keep it in here, you got to eat, like when you eat something, you have to eat it in moderation. You have to take the count in, you have to count your carbs. And, so I would say that never ends in difficulty, but it ends in like, I know that I can do the difficulty now, if that makes any sense. Like once you do a level so long, you start killing the level, and that's kind of like in a video game. It's the same thing. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've just being with my girlfriend, I've learned that how some of her eating habits will affect her. Mm-hmm. Like, I've learned, you know, French fries or something like highs or lows. Mm-hmm. What, you know, I've kind of figured out, and I'm learning, I'm trying, but I was going to ask you, I remembered I was going to ask you earlier. So when you have to take a shot of insulin or something, are you someone that, like, are you open about it? Do you just do that? If you're at a restaurant, do you just do that right in the booth at the table? Do you go to the bath? Like, how is that something that you go about doing? She is pretty open about it and has got, she was diagnosed, I think she was 12. So it's been a while now. And she's just gotten used to it. But how have you grown to do that?
Yeah, like I said, I'm pretty open about it. Like, it is me, I'm it, like it's, we're one, you know what I'm saying? It's never going away. So people gonna have to accept it for what it is and what it isn't. I always say, like, I've always been open with it. I've never been one to tuck it away or hide it away or anything. But I remember one day this little kid, I was out at like a pool park, and this little kid said, I look like an inflatable, like that looked like the inflatable piece, my Dextrom. And I remember that hurt my soul, because little kids are brutally honest, man.
Yeah.
Telling me the truth, and it hurt me. But that's probably the hardest lick I've taken, like, as far as comments go from anybody. And it was like a 5-year-old.
Well, I mean,
kid.
You kind of got to respect that. That's like a kid to come up with that, that's a pretty creative, even though he Absolutely. Might not know if it was a joke or anything, but, or brutally honest, like you said.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if you take your feet out of your shoes, it's kind of funny, and it's like, wow, how do you come up with that at like such a young age? That is funny.
You just blurt it out, but yeah,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, you didn't. But yeah, that's honestly it. I've been pretty open about it. Like I said, I let my girlfriend give me shots sometimes because she's super interested in it. Anybody who has questions, I'll let them come around. That's actually how I met some of the people in my gym, is because I'm pretty open about being type 1 diabetic. Like I said, I got it tatted on my wrist here in case I ever have a sugar low or anything, if I get loaded in an ambulance.
So what does it say?
It says, maybe I can get it in here. It says type 1 diabetic, but it's upside down.
Oh, wow.
Maybe like, oh, there we go.
That's interesting. Wow. That's pretty cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, so that way if I'm ever solo or have someone that doesn't know that I'm type 1, I get loaded in an ambulance. That's the arm that the IV goes in, is on your left side. And so that's basically an ass saver for the EMTs. So, yeah.
That's insanely, like, I have tattoos too, so I'm not saying like the commitment of a tattoo, but like that's a great idea to do that, because it's like, that's always going to be there. They'll always know, like, all they got to do is just look, you know, 10 inches down your forearm and boom, they're going to know. Exactly. And so that's actually pretty interesting that you do that, that you got that done.
Yeah. And so my left arm, that's the only tattoo that's going to be on my left arm. Like, I plan on decking out later on in life, but I'm going to keep this one clean except for this one. So it sticks out. It's noticeable. It's real. Like, it's more medical than it is like art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was a funny story though, honestly, with the kids that looked like an inflatable tube. That's like you said, it's a low jab almost, but did you laugh at the moment, or were you like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Kid? Like, what were I mean, you, what yeah. was, Were you shocked?
It was like a combination. Like at first I thought it was funny because I'm kind of comedic myself. So yeah. it was funny to see it, and I could laugh it off because it was about me. But I was also taken off guard by it because I had never like thought of it in that mind frame. I was like, where this kid was thinking, like he was obviously a smart kid. Any kid that would make that connection and like say that joke and stuff like that, he's going places. But yeah, that's
moving on. I kind of want to get into what I brought you on here for, and what you probably want to talk about really too is, you know, you started a business. I've been seeing a little bit of a fundraiser or of sorts that you did with your clothing line or your brand line. Yeah. So tell people a little bit about that and how that came to fruition and what you do with it.
Okay. So what he's referring to is a place called, or this company that I've created called 50 Cal. And I had been plotting for a long time that I wanted my own company, but I didn't know how to go about it or what avenue I really wanted to take. And one night I literally just had a dream one night, and then I woke up and everything was connected. Everything made sense. And I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I wanted to make other people feel better, and I wanted to help others that needed help, and I wanted to get paid off it. And I said, how do I go about it, and how do I do that? And I created this clothing line company, this athletic clothing line company right now, which will transfer into workout programs and stuff later on. But the goal behind it is I have a product. Portions of this product goes towards feeding somebody else. I'll take some money to build this business into something bigger so we can help more people. And then whoever donated that money feels good about the whole thing. So it's called 50 Cal for a reason, because 50% of Cal's money is donated towards somebody in need, which right now I'm in cahoots with the Regional Food Bank of Oklahoma. And okay. Yeah. And so right now I have masks, like face masks, like pandemic masks, and they're $5. And for every product that gets sold, 5 meals will get donated to the Regional Food Bank of Oklahoma. And that pic that you saw on Instagram not too long ago was me dropping off my first load of meals that I collected.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's actually, I didn't even put that together with the brand name 50 Cal. I honestly just thought like 50 Cal the gun. I was like, that's a good play off your name. But like, absolutely. I didn't think of how you were using the actual 50 number wise.
Well, there's a couple of elements to it. Like I said, 50% of Cal's business, right, goes towards donating the meals. But also at the same time, when you think of 50 Cal, you think of like big round, big sniper, you know what I'm saying? Big high caliber guns should be worn by high caliber people. So it kind of invites the idea that if you join this, there's a reason. So we're doing this for good. And 50 Cal, high caliber people, like I said, the workout programs. So my slogan is breadwinner, breadbreaker. And if you do the workout program, you can purchase the workout program. You do the workout program, it makes you physically better. The workout program's $50. 50 meals gets donated to the Regional Food Bank of Oklahoma per a program sold. And so you're going to get better for yourself in the gym. You're donating meals to make someone else better who needs it. So that's where the breadwinner, breadbreaker comes from. Is like, if we're going to go ahead and dub for ourselves and we're in a position, we're winning in life, we're going to go ahead and chip off the whole block, give some crumbs to somebody else who needs it, so maybe they can do something better for themselves as well.
That's really good stuff, honestly, man. That's, you know, I knew a little bit about what you were doing just through what I saw on Instagram and whatnot. But hearing about it in detail and in full is really cool. And it's an awesome thing that you're doing. One, I want to say congratulations for doing it. I mean,
thanks, man.
It's hard to start a business, but two, it's hard to start one and also give 50% of your business away to donations and fundraisers and good causes. Yeah. It's hard to
it's really crazy because I don't even feel like that. I feel like I said, I kind of found my purpose in that. And this is kind of, the stepping stone as to where I'm ascending to or where I'm going to in life. I just wanted to see if I could do it. And I wanted to, this is a way that I could do it right now with the capital overhead that I have, see who I could help, who's really interested in something like this, where it can take off from. And so what'd you just say? The last question, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying that it's really great that what you're doing, giving back to good causes
Yeah. But it doesn't even feel like I'm giving half my money away because I never acted like that was my money in the first place. That's not what it was for. So
yeah. And that's a great thing. That's a great way to look at things. It's a great way to go about it. You know, like if you're looking at it personally and you're not in it for like, you're not in it to be Bezos, but you're in it to, you know, still, you obviously want to make money so that you can keep doing it and keep providing the work and the product and services and whatnot. But what's the vision going forward with that? Do you have, you obviously said you have plans to grow it into, you have a clothing line, you have a fitness program. Do you have a plan? And this is just an idea, just cause I was talking about it with my girlfriend, about something she was looking at, but like any products that, directly, fit type 1 diabetics, like whether it be for a pump or with a, you know, whatever it might be.
I'll answer this in several parts. At the next phase, so I just got rid of my masks. I have a couple left on sale right now, and then after they're gone, I'm not going to purchase any more pandemic masks. And what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to transfer to shirts. And the reason I'm going to do that is because a $5 mask donates 5 meals. And the goal, the overall goal of this company is, like I said, it's a startup company. It's something that I want to be able to contain and something that my goals are achievable. The main goal is 50,000 meals. After I hit 50,000 meals, we'll decide if I ditch this business plan and I go to something new, or if I decide to amplify what we're doing here at 50 Cal anyway. So $5 a mask. Now I'm transferring to shirts. It'll be shirts soon, and it'll be a $10 shirt and 10 meals per shirt. And that, so if we want 50,000 meals, that's more obtainable because it takes 5,000 masks at $5 to get 50,000 meals, right? And so instead, we're going to go ahead and go to some shirts, $10, 10 meals. You know what I'm saying?
It doubles maybe sweatshirts or hats, exactly, or something like that.
Yeah. If nothing will go over $20. So it'll be okay. So the mask 5, shirts 10, hoodies and crop tops and all that stuff in the future are going to be $20 max.
What can people expect with, do you plan on growing the fitness program? Obviously that would probably factor in, when you reach your 50,000 goal mark, if you decide to keep going or decide to put an end to the project, the business idea and move on to a different endeavor. With the fitness program, whether you continue that on the side or whatever, do you plan on growing that under the 50 Cal brand? Do you plan on growing that to, not just fitness routines, but maybe nutrition, like a diet thing? What's the plan with that side of things?
So right now I have a cookie cutter base, strength and like if you want lean muscle build. And what I'm actually talking to a dietitian right now, a nutritionist. She's a doctor, actually, PhD and everything, or MD. Anyway, she's working on a diet plan right now for anybody who wants to get right. And with my expertise, I can figure out like what your BMR is and how many calories you burn per day and what exactly you need to count your carbs. And as we go, if this program proves to be successful and a lot of people want in, buy it and like into it, it's really not hard to make an intermediate level program. So it'll go easy, medium, hard, and that'll be 3 tiers of programs that you can pick from. That'll probably be awesome. eight to 12 weeks apiece. There could be some growth there in the future. It just really depends on what people want.
That's really good. And especially if you do end up also like growing a diabetic specific and taking on clients that are diabetic, do you also understand the other type 2 diabetes, is it, or type 3?
Yeah.
Do you also like have understandings of how that works, and like do you have friends or acquaintances that have that diabetic, that type of diabetes?
Absolutely. There's a lot more. So of all diabetics, there's only 10% that are type 1. Everybody else is type 2. The difference between type 1 and type 2 is type 2 can be reversed through what you eat and working out, and type 1 can't be reversed. For now, exactly.
Elon Musk hopefully could come through with that Neuralink.
Yeah, right. Type 1 is when your autoimmune system starts attacking your honestly, I can't remember all the scientific terms, but basically...
I'm not going to hold you to it.
Yeah, I was like, there's too much in depth. But basically, type 2 can be reversed through working out, losing weight. It's usually implications of too much weight, or you're eating a lot of the wrong things. Someone who like intakes mass amounts of sugar and fats and stuff for a day are more apt and likely to get type 2. It's reversible. It is much easier... It's much easier to live with because the fact that you can get rid of it. But
have you So have you taken on diabetic clients for your fitness program yet?
Yeah.
Have they mostly been type 1 or type 2?
Just type 1. Like I said, I just got certified. So since I graduated, I've been able to take on clients on under my like my own brand name and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I have the certification. And so I've only had one type 1. I haven't had any type 2s yet. But he's been pretty good to like pretty easy to manage with, because like I said, he wants to get better. And type 1 is one of those things where it's like, once you figure out exactly what you need, if you can check off that list and stay in the box, it just like if you just eat this and you just eat this like Monday through Friday, you'll be straight and you'll see gains and you'll be better and it won't affect your sugars and stuff like that. So he's been pretty good about that. But like I said, I've been pretty adamant about him staying like in between the lines, like not going too high, not going too low, because that affects your fitness level as well in your progress. But other than that, we haven't had too many issues as far as training with type 1s.
That's really cool. Honestly, man, it's been interesting to hear, you know, like I said, since my girlfriend's diabetic, I kind of have been learning about that and whatnot. But it's kind of cool to hear another story and hear different stories, different experiences. Honestly, that story about the free kid call it and say that looked like that, I mean, kids, come on. But right. Kelvin, thanks so much for joining the show. It was really interesting and cool to hear your story, your journey, and also your vision for your brand. Let people know where they can find you one more time and give them the information.
Across all social media platforms, like I said, Kelvin Gritsmaker, not too hard to find. I'm the only one around. Thanks again for having me on your show. I had a blast. I'm going to funnel everybody to come look at this, because like I said, I love what you're doing on your end. Yeah, you're killing it, man. But anyway, thanks for the shout out. Thanks for calling me and everything. And
absolutely. Hope you do well on your end. You'll be able to find his social media links below. Like, comment, subscribe. That was Rabbit Rabbit Hole. Peace out.
All right. Have a good one, man.